With this sermon this morning, we finish a journey through the 23rd Psalm of David. It might be fitting now to read the entire Psalm at one time. Once again, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We come to the word, I guess you might say, the end of the 23rd Psalm. Maybe the word end is not a good choice of words, for David implies that he wants to be shepherded by the Lord forever. Sometimes people say, well, in the Old Testament, you don't have any indication that people believe that you had a resurrection. That was the difference between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees were Jews that believed in the resurrection. The Sadducees were for Jews that did not believe in the resurrection. But if you go to David, he's one of the evidences in the Old Testament that life went on beyond this life. Life went on beyond the grave. David talks about, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord not till I die, but I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So the teaching of eternity and living on beyond this life is brought out in this statement by David. So maybe the word end is not a good word. It's the end of the 23rd Psalm, but it's not the end of the story. Nor is it the end of the Lord being the good shepherd, nor is it the end of our being his sheep. I guess you could say, David would say, all good things do not have to come to an end. And that is true in the way, in the relationship between the Lord that we have with him as sheep and shepherd. During our lifetime, we're glad that a lot of things do come to an end. But David says there's one thing that I can say I don't want to come to an end. And that is my being present and benefited and blessed and associated with the shepherd. Of course, we know that shepherd now is Jesus Christ. This is his last in the list of I shall not wants, and that is, I shall not want for a permanent home. Now, the 23rd Psalm does not cover every single solitary want you and I would ever have, but it covers the major wants that God wants to give all of us. And one of those would be a permanent home. I shall not want for a permanent place to dwell when I leave this life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever is a hard word to explain. Forever is a hard word to comprehend. We just can't fathom anything being forever. And I sometimes sit down and just start thinking about this forever. And I say, it'll never end. I mean, I'm 70 now. That seems like a long time. But say 70 billion, 70 trillion, 70 jillion. I mean, it's 70 forever and ever and ever and ever. It never shall end. Can you comprehend folks living for 70 million years? More years than there are sand, grains of sand in the sea. More years than there are, add to that, all the stars in the heaven. And add to that, all the leaves on all the trees and all the petals on all the flowers. And add to that, you know, everything else that we could mention. All the feathers on all the birds. Can you feature that? We're going to live longer years than all those things added together. It's just almost without my comprehension. And we're going to live with the Lord It's more than a long time, folks. It's endless time. Endless time. I don't know. What on earth can you do forever and ever? I don't know. But I am anxious to find out. Now, the same can't be said of those the devil gets the shepherd. Now, you don't say anything in the Bible about the devil is my shepherd, but I think the devil looks upon those that he has as, I won't call them sheep, as his unclean ones. Now, you have the unclean spirits, and now you have unclean people do evil things. And so they are his flock, whatever you want to call them. They too have an endless future. That also is difficult to comprehend. But it's not a bright future. Actually, the Bible says it's a picture, a future of darkness. Hard for me to understand seeing nothing. See, yeah, nothing good is going to be given to the devil's crowd. That there is no end is bad news to Satan's group. They're going to want something to end. They're going to want their existence to end. A lot of them at the grave. It's just not going to end. And there's nothing good that Satan can give his followers throughout all eternity. There's nothing good. The Bible says all good things come from God. You think of something you'd like that you say it's good, it won't be able. Well, Satan won't be able to give that to his group. He won't be able to give anybody anything. He'll be in the same miserable state that they're in. Nothing of God's good is in the future for the unsaved. There's no good thing in the pasture of the lost, now or forever. I guess I could paraphrase or rephrase the 23rd Psalm. Rephrase would probably be a better word. The devil is my shepherd. He will lead me to polluted waters. He will make me lie down in wretched pastures. He will torment my soul and lead me into paths of wickedness and danger. He'll expose me to the walk of death. He'll deliver me to miseries of my enemies. He'll anoint my head with sorrow. Trouble and regret will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in eternal torment forever. I guess you want to have a 23rd Psalm of the devil, that would be it. I'm puzzled why anybody with any sense at all would choose to make the devil their shepherd in this lifetime and put the trust of their eternal destiny in the hands of the devil. I just can't fathom anyone doing this. There'll be a regret someday of the lost folks that they did not make Jesus Christ their shepherd during their lifetime. They will regret that forever and ever. Now, David says, I have no regret of the shepherd I've chosen to follow in this life. No regret. I don't want to trade him for another shepherd. I don't want to lose him for another shepherd. Surely not the devil. Now, the psalmist pictures the Lord's sheep as being so satisfied with their shepherd and their future and their lot in life, so much at home with their shepherd that they have no desire to change. David's longing was to be a permanent sheep, cared for by a permanent shepherd, housed in a permanent pasture. And that was his desire. In other words, he said, I'm satisfied with Jesus. That's the question. Are you satisfied with Jesus? Well, David said, yes. I'm satisfied with my situation. I'm satisfied with his leading. I'm satisfied with his green pastures. I'm satisfied with his still waters. I'm satisfied with the way he has led me. I am satisfied with the cup he has given me to drink. I am satisfied with his goodness and mercy. I am satisfied with everything that my shepherd has given to me. And I cannot find a better offer on this earth, and I hope and I plan and I desire to make our relationship permanent forever and ever. I guess I could raise an interesting question here about Jesus as our shepherd. Are you tired of the still waters that He leads you to? Are you tired of the green pastures that His kind of green pastures? Are you tired of the table that He sets for you? Are you tired of following His commands? Are you tired of Jesus Christ, of His leading? Are you tired of His anointing? Are you tired of hearing His voice? Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice." Well, are you tired of hearing His voice? If you never read the Bible and you never go hear a message, you never let the Lord speak to you, I guess you might say, I'm tired of listening to His voice. I don't know how you want to take that. But are you tired of following and listening to and the leading of Jesus? This is a simple question for you. If you're dissatisfied with Jesus now, how happy do you think you're going to be in heaven? It's just a simple question. Because once you get to heaven, everything is going to be made permanent. If you don't really like the way Jesus is dealing with your life now, why would you want to go to heaven and make it permanent, you see? I was some time ago reading and ran across some statistics, and I was amazed to read that a sizable number of those who belong to the church, that is, churchgoers, church members, believed in reincarnation. Now, you know what reincarnation is, that when you die, you come back again into this life and start over again as something else or somebody else. And then you die again and you come back as somebody else or something else. That's where you just keep on reappearing on this earth. And that's your eternity, just coming back to this earth and living a life and coming back and going through all the troubles and going through this routine over and over. And those in the church, they said there are a number in the church, a good sized number, that believe in reincarnation. They're not going to heaven. They don't want to go to heaven. They want to come back to this earth and have another life. And I guess, I don't know what they want to do. I've never found the world to be that appealing to me. The longer I live, the more tired I get of the world, the less attraction it has. I turn on the TV today, all I get is upset about all the news and all the problems and all the bickering and all the lies and all the, I don't know what you want to call it. But I mean, to me, the world is in one big mess, and I'd be glad to move into heaven and the glories and the harmony and the joys and the peace of heaven. This old world's about to blow apart, as I understand it. And David also refers to heaven as the house of the Lord, that I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. Now, I've never seen the house of the Lord. I've seen the church building. But I've never seen the heavenly house of the Lord. I don't know what it's like. I can't even visualize in my mind. What would it be like? But it would be a good place to live. And David said, I would like to live in the house of the Lord. I can't conceive of a true believer ever preferring to come back to this earth a second or third or fourth go-around and live in some old wooden house or some wherever you want to live, instead of going to live in the Father's house. I guess some say, well, I want to come back because one of these days I might get to travel to Mars or Jupiter or Pluto. Boy, I want to be, I could care less. The Father's house is a jillion times better than any rocks you're going to find on Pluto and Mars. Anything, any place, some people say, is better than going to heaven. There's some Christians, so to speak, they call us, they don't even believe there is a heaven. Baffling to me the way the church is thinking today and the way people are going in their beliefs. No heaven, no hell, no eternity. To me, what's left? You know, pretty soon there'll be no God, I guess. But this is not the mindset of David. David said, I fall in love with my shepherd, and I want to spend eternity with my shepherd. I want to live under His care forever. I want to follow His rules forever. I want to experience all He has for me forever. I want whatever blessings He wants to give me forever. This should be our great hope and our desire every day as we follow Jesus. The Bible says you can spend eternity in heaven, and that would be the house of the Lord. Or you can spend your eternity in the house of Hades, and that's hell. You have a choice. Not coming back, not a house upon the hillside with a swimming pool, four or five chauffeured cars. You have two choices in this life, and so I understand the Bible now. That is, you can live in the house of the Lord, and with all the good things the Lord provides, or you can live in the house of Hades, which is hell, and have nothing good provided for you for eternity. So you have two choices according to the Bible. No more and no less. And the place that God's sheep, I know, prefer would be the house of the Lord. As far as the horrors of hell, that's not a place any Christian would ever desire to go. There'll be no place found for the unclean followers of the devil's flock. No dogs, no swine, no wolves, no bears, no lions, no unclean thing will be allowed. Did you know, I thought about this, that at one time every one of God's sheep was an unclean thing. Every one of them. The wolf was transformed into a lamb. The lion is changed into a lamb. The swine is turned into a lamb. Every one of God's sheep that He shepherds, every one was at one time an unclean animal, unfit to enter the house of the Lord. But through salvation, now we come to the New Testament, through Jesus Christ, there is a new birth and there is a transformation of the unclean thing. And now the unclean thing is called holy thing. And through this conversion experience, the unclean is now called the sheep and now can dwell in the house of the Lord. But they have to undergo a transformation. You're not going to have untransformed swine and bears and lions and wolves and dogs in heaven. You'll find transformed, regenerated, converted, and now the lamb, and now the sheep, and now the flock of the shepherd. All the sheep in God's sheepfold are miracle sheep. You think about that? They're all miracle sheep. They came from being unclean and made clean. They have been transformed. They have undergone a miracle. The transformation is called salvation. The transformation is called new birth. And it's that transformation that qualifies what was once unclean now to be clean and to live in the Father's house. During World War II, there was a luxurious French villa that was in the path of one of the oncoming armies. It had been deserted, and yet it had been shelled and pretty heavily damaged, and there were holes in the walls and holes in many of the houses. But there were a few swine in the city that somehow managed to survive all the shelling, and they were rooting their way into the magnificently furnished drawing room of the castle of the town. And they walked over the rich velvet carpet with their muddy feet. And they overturned the upholstered furniture. And they tore down the expensive drapes. And they chewed whatever seemed to satisfy their hunger. They could care less about the beauty and the elegance of the place. And that kind of symbolizes what you'd have if you took the unclean into heaven, they would not be capable of appreciating the grand surroundings of the Father's house. They would trample on them in disgust, abuse them. They just would not be able, capable of understanding where they were and how they should act. Why? Because they still were in their unclean state. So you cannot put the unsaved in heaven. They're just not prepared for it. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. A shepherd who has prepared his flock for the prepared place. Things could never thrill the unclean, unsaved in heaven. Just couldn't. It doesn't thrill them now, and it couldn't thrill them then. They don't appreciate it now. They couldn't appreciate it then. They don't enjoy it now. They couldn't enjoy it then. They'd make heaven a miserable place, and heaven would be a miserable place to them. It just cannot get the two together. And so it takes the transformation of the unclean to equip them to long for and to appreciate the Father's house. You have to have a capacity to enjoy the holy atmosphere and in the heavenly home life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The holy hills of heaven have a way of calling out to God's sheep. David saw a place where he wanted to live, and he saw a home where he'd be loved and appreciated. We should likewise desire to be in the Father's house forever. Now the Lord bless you.